So as we saw last week, we were in the middle of discussing, the pasuk mentioned three mitzvahs in the same pasuk. As we said, they were all connected, similar, and they're all called kilayim. That's one word that's used for all of them, which is a mixture. The mixture of the two kinds of animals that you breed together, the planting of the seeds that you plant together, and the wool and the linen, the shatnez that you wear together. So those are the three mitzvahs, which are said all in the same pasuk, actually, interestingly enough, and we're not permitted to do them all. And we discussed a little bit last week. Now we're going to continue. We started last week in the Ramban. So if you can open up in your booklet, I think it's page, it's the third page, but I'll tell you what, it has a number three. Riva, there's another booklet over there. There I see, next to Mrs. Waxler, thank you. Okay, beautiful. Okay, so number three. And the Ramban, we're in the middle. And the Ramban was telling us, we did discuss a little bit of what the Ramban explained. So if you see, I think it's on the third page or the second, yeah, and it has a little number three on it, and it's the Ramban. And the Ramban was telling us that, firstly, he pointed out that Rashi made a general statement, and he said that all of these three mitzvahs are mitzvahs that we can categorize as chukim. And they are chukim, and they, in a sense, they're like the, if you want to say, the banner of chukim, they are the chukim. But the Ramban said that if you analyze all three, you'll see that really one is a chayk more than the other two. And the one that he said is more of a chayk is shatnez than the other two. And the Ramban also said that even though a chayk generally we translate as a mitzvah that we don't have a reason, nevertheless, we know that there definitely is an explanation. There's a depth to it. It's just that Hashem hasn't let us know. As he said, it's like when you have a king, he gives instructions, he tells people to do something, sometimes he gives explanation and rationalizations, and sometimes he just says, do this, and you don't know why. And the people resent it a little bit, but they do it because they fear the king. And he says, this is the idea of chukim. Chukim is where Hashem has not always let us into the depth of what the reason is, but we know for sure, there's no question about it, that even if we never figure out what the reason or the rationale is, we know that not only is there a reason, maybe not a human reason, but there's also an incredibly deep part of importance to keeping the mitzvah because it keeps the balance of creation. Everything is done exact by Hashem. So that's why he continues. And he said, and we said last time, we won't read this part inside, he explained that when you have kilayim, so Hashem created different species and he kept them separate. And then he said that when you have, when you mix two kinds that Hashem said to keep separate, you cause two negative things. First of all, he says, interesting, I don't know scientifically how this works, but for most of them, he says, they will not continue to reproduce. When you mix, they don't reproduce, he says, because you're interfering with the way, so to speak, the healthy way that Hashem created the world. And that's a disaster. That's a big disaster.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. You're right. It is. And this, that's what's a beautiful thing. When you start to analyze, you're right, then you start to see the like really the wonders of Hashem. So it is. It's actually quite incredible. And it's only when we keep the mitzvah that we become aware of it. So that's the one thing that the Ramban says. The other thing, it's an interesting thing the Ramban says. He says it's a very interesting attitude that you're displaying. When you are mixing something that Hashem specifically said not to mix, what you're saying to Hashem is, you don't know how to do a good enough job. I can do better than you. So that's quite a strong, it's a very strong like arrogance in a sense, because it means that you think that you can make something in a sense that Hashem didn't create and I will create it, or I'll mix it and it'll be something better. So that's subtly what you're conveying, which obviously shows to us how important it is to keep what Hashem says separate as separate. So those were the two things that the Ramban said so far. And I'll just show you, if you look on the bottom of the first column, number three, the last line, he says, Pe'ulas ha'harkava b'minim davar nimas. It's a very interesting. So he says it's actually a very despicable type of a thing when you take things and you mix them when you're not meant to. Okay, let's see now. I want to go on the top. Then he goes on and he continues and he explains, if you look on the top of the second column, and he explains that even not only do animals not reproduce, but even vegetation, for whatever that means, will also not reproduce if you mix the seeds that are not meant to be mixed. And then he continues and he says something very important. He says, okay, v'gam hatzmochim, asher yisk, Yisrakvu min b'she'enoy minoy. So too with, as we say, seed, that you mix the species, the ones that are not supposed to be mixed. V'ein parim tzemeach acharechein, they don't give forth, they don't reproduce afterwards. V'yu b'isurim shnei tamim and iskarim, so we have the two reasons that we've mentioned. V'zeh tam sodcha loy sizra kilayim, and that's why you shouldn't plant the field with these different seeds, the mixed seeds. Shehu b'karkova al das rabbi sein. It's interesting because he's saying here, not only, like, you know, you might think scientifically you have to put it into like a petri dish, you know, and mix it together. He says, no, even if you put it very close to each other in the field. So there's different halachas that the rabbis have, how close you are permitted to plant two different kinds and for it not to be considered kilayim, because otherwise it could sort of meet together. Okay, but then he goes on and he says why. Mipnei sheyishtanu b'tivam gam b'tzurasam b'hiyoysam yonkim ze mize. What's going to happen is that they are going to feed off of each other. And then you are going to cause a change. So they're going to sustain each other, so to speak. They're going to get sustenance from each other. And then thereby you are creating a change. He says, v'asor, and then we know, and so this is just the technical part, v'yukol garen mimenu ki'ilu hurkav mishnei minin, and it says, if, even if the seeds don't actually mix, but if you've planted them so close that they get sustenance from the seed next to it, or they get something, a mineral, a something from it, it would be as if you are mixing the seeds. So that's a fascinating thing. You see how careful, as he says, how you have to be with it. And he says the same thing, v'asor lachresh b'shar v'chamar, we know that when you do the plowing, you shouldn't have the two different animals doing the plowing together. Mipnei shederech kol oived ad masei lahavi tzimdai berefes achas v'yavayu lidei harkava, because actually afterwards usually they're put in the same barn, they're housed together, and then they might interbreed. Okay, now let's see a little more. Then the Rambam says something interesting. You see the word umichaveirenu? Mechaveirenu just means chaver, friends, right? Who does the Ramban mean, and from amongst my friends, my colleagues? So we're told what he means is from the people who learn Kabbalah. Now it is known that the Ramban also learned Kabbalah, there's no question. He does put it in to his Perush quite clearly. But here it seems he says it in a very interesting way. He says that I learned from my colleagues who delved in to the soid part of Torah. And we're going to see it here. We're going to see it repeated after in more depth. So we'll just look at it here and we'll understand it more fully soon. He says like this. They add, Moisif b'tam ha-kilayim, they add in the reason of this mitzvah of mixture, ki hu shaloi la'arbev ha-koychais ha-magdilim ha-tzmochim li'yos yankim zemizeh. In not to mix, and it's interesting, here he uses the word b'koychais, and this doesn't just mean the minerals. This is much more spiritual. This means the spiritual energy with which something survives, with which something thrives, we do not want to mix them. As he says, which means, Mimasha Amr B'Breishis Rabba, it says in the Medrash, Amr Rabbi Simon, and this is a beautiful Medrash, a very famous one, and Rabbi Simon says, Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev milamata, she'ein lo'y mazal birakia. And what happens with the mazal? Umaka esev ve'oymer lo'y godal. Or Gidel. What's the right dicta? Yeah. Gidel. Thank you. So what happens, he says, Rabbi Simon says, there is not even a blade of grass down here in the world that doesn't have what we call a mazel or a malach, some energy above, that doesn't, and the interesting language that it uses, that doesn't like hit him and say, grow. Which means, this is the way the Kabbalah explains, obviously Hashem runs the world, no question about it, and he's directly running everything. However, just by way of running, how does he do it? So certain things, like let's say the grass, he has malachim, who he puts in charge. Obviously Hashem is ultimately in charge, and he's even in charge not just ultimately, but constantly. But the malachim are there, and they, the energy that comes to cause the grass to grow, go through these malachim. Now why is that important here? Because he says something interesting. So if you think about it, every grass has a certain malach, or a certain spiritual angel that's set aside to give it its energy to grow. And what happens, he says, he says, do you know the way the heavens rule, the way the heavens run, that you can you can actually interfere and run it in this world, and that's what you're doing. Because if you mix the seeds, let's see what's happening. V'hine hamarkiv kilayim oy zayran b'chtei sheyenuku zembizeh mevatel chukos shamayim. You are making a big confusion up there in the heavens, because now which malach is in charge of this new mixture that you made down here? You've made a big bilbul over here. Interesting. We'll see soon. Bilbul, I mean, obviously Hashem could do anything. That's not the point. The point is, though, that Hashem set a certain way, and that's obviously the way he wants it to run. And he wants Malach A over grass A, Malach B over grass kind B. And you've gone and you've mixed it, and now Malach A and Malach B, we'll see soon, not only are they not sure which one is supposed to be giving the highest to this grass, but it can cause a certain rift, a certain lack of peace, Lamaila, and we'll see. We'll see, we'll develop that in a minute. It's quite a powerful thing. Again, such a simple mitzvah, and you realize how you're affecting, not just in this world, and not just the way our mind thinks, but the whole running of the whole world. It's absolutely incredible. So let's see, he says like this, V'lekach amar behem eschu kaisai tishmeru, and that's why the language is used, eschu kaisai tishmeru, that you should keep my laws. It doesn't just mean my laws that you don't understand. Rather, it means strong decrees. And the chukim are the chukim which Hashem established the way he runs the whole world in the heavens. And these are the decrees, these are the laws by which the world governs, by which the world runs, operates in a successful way. So he says, "Ki hem chukos shamayim," right? These are the laws of the heaven. Uvekach amar Rabbi Chanina, mishum Rabbi Pinchas, mishum chukim shechakakti bahem, es oylami. You have to be careful because I've set certain things in my world, and obviously that's how Hashem wants the world to run. Who are we to interfere? We'll see soon how bad it is a little more, but I wanted to show you one more thing. Go to the bottom paragraph, and then he says something interesting, because when it comes to Shatness, it's a little bit different. And he quotes, and this is a very interesting quote, this is a quote directly from the Rambam, which the Rambam many times disagrees with, but he just brings this, and let's see what he says. What's the Rambam's view on why we don't wear Shatness? So he says, okay, Vaharav, when he says Vaharav, sometimes it's Rashi, mostly it's the Rambam. And here we know for sure it's the Rambam because he says, Amar b'Meir Nevuchim. Meir Nevuchim is the book, Sefer, written by the Rambam. So he says, Tama Shatness, what's the reason for Shatness? Mipnei Shehoya b'zmano hu beged yadua l'kumrei balei hakshofim. There was a specific type of clothing that the priests of the magic used to wear. So all those, you know, occult priests, they used to wear it. And it was, what was that clothing? Shebehem hayu oisim kol maasei, and that's how they would do all the different things they would do, all their different actions, all their magic. For Amar, shematza zakasuv b'sifreyim, and the Rambam actually writes, because we know the Rambam learned not only other philosophies, but he learned everything. So he knew about all the different magics and about all the different everything, how everything worked. If you want to say all the secular knowledge that there was in his time, the Rambam learned it. And he says he saw clearly in the Svar, because it could be in his time that wasn't already taking place, but it was from years before. And what does it say there? He says, it was something which was very big for them, and it was something which was very, very important for them, because they felt they felt that the clothing that they wore actually helped them to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. So these priests, it wasn't just that they had a uniform, they thought that what they wore really would make a difference to be effective in their magic and in their shadim and their all those powers of impurity. Tarchik oisai ha-Torah mikol adam. That's why the Torah says, stay far away from these things. Ki ha-Torah tavai limchais ma'aseyem ulahachachid zichram. The purpose of the Torah, it says, is to actually erase all the actions of all those negative things and to literally destroy their memory. This is one of the views that the Rambam has generally. I don't know if you remember, we learned this when we learned about Karbanis. One of the things, and this is contested a little bit, but the Rambam has an interesting view. He says, why do we bring a Karban? Because to wean us off. What are we weaning off? Because when they were in Mitzrayim, they used to do a lot of karbanas to Avodah Zarah, and slowly we have to wean us off. So instead of just cutting us, he says, let's first do direct it to Hashem, and slowly but surely you become weaned off the negativity. Here's a very big thing about avodah zarah and obviously how negative it is, but how we have to cut off from it. And sometimes we have to wean ourselves slowly. Sometimes we make a complete cut. And here, the interesting shatness is to remind us that we do not want to be like those priests who wore that clothing. Okay, it's just it's a very basic idea, but it's a very fascinating one. This is really the view of the Rambam. The Rambam has different views in many, many things. He doesn't ascribe necessarily, but as you can see, the Ramban brought initially quite a few interesting ideas, as we said, more Kabbalistic and deeper. Go to the next page. I want to show you something. The next page. Page number 4. I'm sorry, I didn't make the original. Usually I do, but it's very, very long in the Sefer HaChinuch. And it's a little bit repetitive. That's why, but it's just another layer. And we'll see in the Rabbeinu B'chaim more in the actual language. This is a direct translation of the Sefer HaChinuch. We've done the Sefer HaChinuch many, many times. And interestingly, this is actually not on our mitzvah. What this is on the mitzvah of Loi machasheifa loi sechaya. Remember in Parshas Mishpatim, you shouldn't let a witch live. And there he discusses witchcraft. Why am I bringing witchcraft here? Because the Sefer HaChinuch says on the mitzvah of shatness, if you want to understand the mitzvah of shatness, go back in my Sefer and look at the mitzvah of witchcraft, and you'll see there that you'll understand because they are very similar. Let's see what's the similar. So let's go now. I'll tell you, we'll start from, okay, look here, from the second paragraph now. Now the substance of sorcery to my mind is this. At the beginning of creation, Hashem set for every single thing among the entities of the world a certain nature to fulfill its good and proper function for the good of the humankind that he created, right? So everything was created in the way that it could fulfill its purpose. And he ordered each entity to fulfill its function according to its species, as it is written, as we mentioned in Bereshis, Lemina, right? Bemina, it's every time it says. And that's when Hashem says, Vayara Likin Kitay, right? It was good. After he created, after its kind, each one to its species. Furthermore, over each and every one, he set a ruling force above, as the Ramban said, to impel it to its task. As the sages of blessed memory said, you will find not a blade of grass below which does not have a celestial being above that bids it grow. But apart from their regular function, which each and every organism does by its nature, they have another way of functioning. When one species among them is mingled with another species. In the process of this mingling, there are certain aspects, ways, which human beings were not permitted to utilize. So this is another layer. You see what he's saying here? In other words, it's almost like, you know how you go near an electric station and it says high voltage and there's a big fence around it? That's what it sounds like. It's too dangerous. It's something which Hashem doesn't want us to mix in with. Exactly, too powerful. Too powerful for us. So it's again another layer, you see. So he says, since Hashem knows that the end of the matter which will result for humanity through those aspects or ways will be harmful for them. And for this reason, he withheld them from them. Very interesting. So it's, in other words, Hashem knows and he says, stay away. It's not that you can't do it, you can do it. But it's dangerous, very, very dangerous. In this vein, our sages of blessed memory said as a general rule, whatever, and we mentioned this last week, it's a very important thing, whatever contains a purpose of healing is not considered of the ways of the Amayim. In other words, it is not to be forbidden because of an aspect of sorcery in it, since there's a useful benefit in it. It's interesting. How do we know? So very fascinating. If there's something useful, it means that Hashem obviously made it useful because that's not forbidden. So the things that are forbidden have nothing that will benefit us. We should just be aware of that. It will not benefit even if we think it will. It won't. And that's why we stay away. And something that we have found or something that we have been inspired to realize that it will cause benefit, then we realize that's not part of that forbidden realm. So it's a fascinating thing. So if it will cause healing, it's not part. But if it doesn't, then it's definitely negative. Sorry, Riva, what did you say?
I said now we can eat broccoli.
Okay, so then he says like this. That's it. And let me just see where we were. Okay, yes, that's right. For they were forbidden. Okay, so now comes a very important paragraph. Moreover, in those forbidden ways of mingling and devising, as we say with the two species, there is the power to form something new. This is also similar to what the Ramban said. And on that account, they were forbidden. Because the powers of that mingling rises up so strongly that it temporarily nullifies the force of the celestial being appointed over the two species. You're creating something new. And now this something new is even more powerful. So all, what it means actually is that we know that everything works both directions. There's what happens in the heaven, and that affects what happens here. What we do here also affects what happens in the heaven. You've mixed, so now you've created also a new spiritual being to be in charge of this new mixture. And this is a problem. This is the dangerous part, really. So he says, look at this. And he says, so now, and an analogy for this would be, as you see, when someone grafts one species into a different one, they create a third species, which is new. Then the result is that the grafting has nullified the power of both of the original species, because now you have to have a new one to be in charge of this new creation. Therefore, we were prohibited from even bringing to mind, much less doing with our hands, anything that will show any wish of ours to change anything in the whole perfect works of Hashem. Perhaps there will come to hand from this a hint of the root purpose about mingling species, that's what we're doing now, species of animals and the wearing of shatnas, a mixture of wool and linen in their proper places. Good morning, good morning. I'm so sorry, Hana. Okay. And then with the help of the eternal Lord. Okay. So then, just thinking that's all we're going to do here. Okay, that's you could actually read, it's interesting, the next one, it's a bit similar, because it's really, as we said, this is the Mahashefa, but he says, I'm so sorry, do you want to share? Oh, thank you. Now this is why our sages of blessed memory said, why are they named sorceries? Because they contradict the angelic retinue above and below. In other words, their force rises up for a while, stronger, you can see over here, stronger than the power of those angels appointed over them. And very, very interesting. And it says for the pasuk says, not the pasuk, but the words of the Medrash, the angelic retinue and not the edict, not the chayik, for the eternal Lord blessed is he ordained this, desiring from the beginning of creation that this reaction should result from the two of them when they are mingled. And this is clear, open proof about those appointed over them that they are only malachim, they're not God. Obviously, Hashem knows and Hashem, it's all coming from Hashem, but Hashem doesn't want it. It's like, we know, you know, sometimes a parent knows, but he doesn't want you to do it, so don't do it. He knows what it will lead to. Stay away. Stay clear. So this is how the Sefer HaChinuch puts it. Let's go to the next page, and I'll see, again, it's slightly repetitive, but again, each one adds a little beautiful angle, and this is, you can see, it says number 5, and this is the Rabbeinu Bechai. The Rabbeinu Bechai, we know, we've done many, many times. He actually many times quotes, interestingly, from the Ramban. He goes along the lines of the Ramban. But the Rabbeinu Bechai is such a beautiful, beautiful sefer, because if somebody wants to just learn, you know, sometimes people just take a sefer and they just learn through. It's a very organized sefer. He's not, some of the commentaries, what they do, some of the mefarshim, is they take on every pasuk and they explain whatever they, you know, whatever it is, sometimes a medrash, sometimes a Kabbalah concept. But the Rabbeinu Bechai organizes it. And on most pasukim, what he does is he gives the pshat, the remez, the drush, and the sight. Like he goes through all the different angles of the way Torah is explained. Not on every pasuk, every one, but he goes through. So we'll see over here. I mean, we're not going to read some of it because some of it we mentioned. So he goes through the pshat, and the pshat is what we've already said. You see on the top, it says, al derech hapshat. And that's what we already explained. It's the same as what the Ramban said, that we shouldn't interfere because it's also arrogance to Hashem. And it's like showing as if Hashem didn't perfect it and I can do more than him. And also we're going to create a new, so to speak, creation, right? Okay, but I want to see Val Derech HaMedrash. That's the second one, that's the drash. So you see the second paragraph, Val Derech HaMedrash. Let's see, here we are. Val Derech HaMedrash, Sadcha Loi Sizra Kilayim. So why shouldn't you plant this mixture? Zeh She'amar HaKasuv. And this is such, this is a whole different one, so beautiful. He says like this, Hashem chafetz l'man tzidkai yagdil Torah v'yad. A very famous pasuk that Hashem desires for his righteousness. Therefore, what does he do? He makes Torah great, abundant, and he makes Torah strong. Strong and beautiful. What does that mean? What does it mean abundant? What does it mean for his righteousness? Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah li Yisrael. Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Kidei lahanchilam chayeh ha'olam haba. We know Hashem wants us to inherit the world to come, and we've explained many times that doesn't just mean after 120. We can have the world to come in this world as well, which means Hashem created the world in order so that we can come close to Him. We can become close to Hashem, and we can reveal godliness in this world. How do we do it? So he says, therefore, Hashem doesn't leave anything, any encounter, any experience, anything that we will deal with, Hashem doesn't allow it, so to speak, to remain in a state where there isn't a mitzvah attached to it. You know, sometimes people complain, so many mitzvahs from the minute I wake up till the minute I go to sleep. Everything we do is another mitzvah. That's the beauty, and Hashem did it dafke. We have a mitzvah associated with every aspect of our life. And that's why he says, look, he says like this. So he says, he gives an example. Bolach, right? So you're coming to plow. You think plowing is such an ordinary activity in the field. Make sure you remember, you can't take the ox and you can't take the donkey and put them together. But Israel, you want to plant. Don't plant the seeds together. You, Baliktar, you're coming to reap, to cut the crops. You don't take the corners and you don't take the pieces that have fallen. Balilbaish, you come to get dressed in the morning. You think getting dressed is such a routine, ordinary thing? We have to be aware. We have to be conscious. Is this shatness? Is it not shatness? When we go shopping in the store, can I buy this wool suit? Can I not buy this wool suit? Why? Because this comes from this pasuk that Hashem chafetz leman tzidkei. But what he means is, it's not just His righteousness, it's our righteousness. Hashem desires, and He gives us such a gift that in every moment of our life we can come close to Him. We can attain holiness in every single aspect. And that's how the Rabbeinu Chaya says, that's the importance of this mitzvah. So just on a simple level, that there should be a mitzvah that covers every single act that we do. And we know there is, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we walk, even running. You know, it's interesting, I don't know if people are aware, but like it says on Shabbos, you're not meant to run. No running on Shabbos, but you can run to shul, but you can't run home from shul, right? So you see, everything is like, okay, unless you're going home because, you know, as a woman, you're making the meal, so it's also a mitzvah, but, right, there's a concept of every single act that we're doing, we're aware of what we're doing, we're aware that the Eibishter runs the world, and that through this act, we come close to Him. It's quite a beautiful idea. So that's the midrash, so to speak, aspect. I want to go now to the top of the second column. Let's see over here. Now he continues. This is taking the side part, as we mentioned, the Kabbalah that the Ramban mentioned. He's going to take it just a little bit deeper and a little bit and more at length. Let's see. Ukvar yadati maimarim zal. So we already know what the Chazal tell us. Afilu ha'elyonim tzrichim shalom. So we mentioned that you're going to make this new creation, this new malach up there, or we're going to confuse the two malachim that are in charge, and nobody knows who's in charge anymore. He says, even in the heavens we need peace. And we say, Aisa shalom b'mraimav, we say it every time, right? By Shemayin Esrei, Hashem should make peace in the heavens. V'hashalom, that this is between the malach Michal and the malach Gavriel, but there's got to be peace. V'hashalom shalahem hu kiyumam, right? And that's what causes them to continue to exist. The peace that is attained by the malachim, that's what allows them to continue to exist. And not only to exist, v'sheyif'alu pu'ulosam b'minuyam. That's the only way they can actually activate and do what they have to do according to their job. What we mean by peace here is that they know clearly what they're doing. The opposite of peace, sometimes we say, is machloikes. But the truth is, a lot of times the opposite of peace is this feeling of confusion. Confusion is what causes a lack of peace. That's what we think of when we think of inner peace. Inner peace is menuchas hanefesh. That's inner peace, right? Menuchas hanefesh means you're not confused. You know exactly what you're meant to be doing, who you are, where you're meant to be, and then you don't step on somebody else's toes. You have your job, they have their job. You have your role, and we're going to see this play out soon even more. Okay, so let's see a little bit more how he explains it. So he says like this. So if you tack and do what you're supposed to do down here, right? Each one species according to its kind, you cause Shalom, peace above, ki ha'koyches ha'memunim, he'mashlimim menuyam ha'ro'i, because you allow those powers above who are appointed to do their job, you allow them to do their job properly. K'maisha tzarech ha'olam ha'shafel, just like the world down here needs. V'hamayim mitayladas lamata, min b'she'enay minay, but somebody who mixes and puts one species with something that's not the same species. Hareze goyrim, heifech ha'shalom, it causes the opposite of peace. Ki hu ma'arbev, very interesting language, the ma'arbev, you literally cause like Eruv, but an Eruv is where you make a mixture, but it's also confusion. Irbuvia, it's a confusion. It's a place which it's dark, right? Erev, it's dark. You don't know where you're going. It's non-clarity. So you cause this hakaiches ha'elyeinim umbevatel oisan, v'oiker oisan miminuyam. You literally uproot them from what they are supposed to be doing. V'zehu soid haloshin, very interesting, of kilayim. What is the interesting, the shayrish of the word kilayim? Look, he says, like the word kela. What's kela? Besa kela? A prison. Where does it come to a prison? Such an interesting connection, something we wouldn't know. So he says, look, he says like this, shuloshin miniya. What does miniya mean to withhold? Which means to block, like somebody who's imprisoned, they're literally locked in. Klaimer bitul hakoiches miloshin loy sichla rachamecha mimenu. So that's where we say that Hashem shouldn't stop. He shouldn't withhold his compassion. And that's what we say, Beis HaKela. Ki hanitan sham hu misbatel mimlachto. What happens to somebody who's in prison? They can't do what they're supposed to be doing. That's one of the hardest things. They can't go where they want to go, but they also can't do their job. They're imprisoned. And this is kilayim, very interesting. So he says, v'zehu lashon chukim. This is also the concept of chukim. Miloshon chakika v'tziur. This is where we have the concept of like where something is engraved and has a specific image, a specific drawing. Ki hem tziyurei inyanim sichliim shel maila. This is such a beautiful language that he uses. This, what chukim are, it's like imagine, the imagery we can imagine is Hashem's drawing, the way Hashem draws something, the way he wants it to look, the way he wants it to be, the way he pictures it. It's obviously in its perfect state. That's what the chukim are. And when, so he says, v'harmarbia, behema, right? So when you take the two animals and you put them together, min b'she'enei minoi, oh, yazarei etzemech min b'she'enei minoi, v'hem yoyim kim zemiza, right? Then they eat one from the other, they get their sustenance. Harei zem ma'arbev, ha'koiches elyenim, you're confusing, you're mixing the higher koiches, ha'noisnim koyach ha'ilada, koyach ha'tzmicha, the ones who either give them the koyach to give birth or the koyach to grow. K'moisha darshu razal, ein l'choisev, as we mentioned, kol esev esev milamata, she'in l'mazal milamayla, as we said, there's no grass down here that doesn't have its higher power, which it says and causes it to grow. Hayadaita chukas shamayim, and these are what we call these heavenly laws, but it's not laws, it's like little, it's mamish implanted, the way the everything works. Umipnei shashnayim hanayladim ba'olam. Rishayna hayu kilayim. Ze mitzat haruach hatayva. We're going to see this a little more at length in a second, so I won't go too much in depth here. He says, what's happening here now is that you're causing something very interesting to be born. And originally, this goes back to the original way when Hashem created the world. When Hashem created the world, he created the world with, so to speak, two forces. Some from the angle of good, v'ze mitzat haruach hara, and some from the angle of negativity. What we are meant to do is to pull ourselves to the positive, to the holy, and to stay away from the negativity, from the bad. That comes from mitzad ruach hatumah, that comes from the impurity. Why? Because what is kilayim? It's the combination of two opposing forces, two extremes. Shehem shnei hafachim. Ain ra'i l'chabaraisan, they're not worthy, they're not meant to be combined. Ki ain chiburan oile yafe. When you combine them, nothing, like something negative comes out, nothing good comes out from it. Aval ra'i l'harchikam u'l'hafridam zamizeh, what we're meant to do is keep them separate. And he says, what happens is, v'hamafrish b'neyem, and this is an important line that we're going to develop, when you make a separation, what do you cause? Goyrem shalom b'olam. You cause peace. Now that's a very interesting terminology if you think about it. When we think of peace, you don't think of separation. Peace means unity, combining, right? Separation is the opposite of peace. fascinating. By separating these two things, let's say the wool and the linen, you are causing peace. We're going to see again, I say every time, Hashgacha Prat is beyond, it's connected to this week's parasha. One minute I'm going to show you something really beautiful. And it's, I always get, like you say, I wonder, even though it happens, and I'll just show you, because I saw something really, really beautiful, and it's exactly this concept. But just to finish, a drop more, and he says, V'hamachabroisen yachad, misalek hashalom in olam, actually causes peace to literally leave from this world. Ki hu ma'arbe v'akoiches elyenim, u'masim kitrug, you mamish cause, it's such a harsh words, but you cause this kitrug and this terrible edict and this terrible negativity, this terrible lack of peace in the heavenly forces. Just by wearing shatnas, just by planting two seeds together. Imagine such a thing. Okay, I want to just go to the bottom part. I'm not going to read the whole next paragraph, but you see, I don't know if you can see the words umasha ne'esar lanu, babgodzim, because he talks about the shatnas. And this, again, we're going to develop soon. You know what I'm thinking? Maybe we won't read this inside because we're going to see it more at length in a minute. Okay, just go to the next page for a second. I want to show you just one more thing. If you go to the next page, this is also still a continuation. Might do. I'll just share with you what we're saying here, and we're going to see it, as I say, in a little bit more depth in a minute, that there's a concept, very interesting. Somebody mentioned it last week. I forgot. I think it was Leia or Ms. Wax, about the fact that even though shatnas is forbidden, there is one place where it is permitted. That's the Kohen, right? The Kohen Gadol wears shatnas. We know that it actually says clearly that his begodim were made of shatnas. And this is a fascinating idea. How could that be if it's forbidden? And we said such terrible things are occurring through it. How could it be that he should be able to wear shatnas? And this is a very big question, and I'm going to keep it because I'm going to tell you something very beautiful in a second. I want to just show you, go to number 7 for 1 minute, because number 6 we already did at the beginning. Look at number 7, just show you something very beautiful. This is from Reb Shamshon Falhirsch. He says like this, comments on the connection between these laws. Remember we said about the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, and then we come to these mitzvahs. With these laws and those which were listed in the preceding verses. With the command to love other human beings, the Torah reached the high point of the ethics that guide the relationships between one person and another. We are now directed downward to the immense world of animal and vegetable life, which opens at our feet. In order to show us that this world also abides by divine law, the Torah thus teaches us that while we may have elevated ourselves to a holy life through the exercise of free will, the plants and animals are also fulfilling their own mission as directed by the will of Hashem. It's a very beautiful way that he's saying. So he says two things, sort of two subtle ideas here, but you can see, first of all, firstly, we dealt with the human beings, how we relate to each other, and now obviously what comes afterwards is how animals relate and how seeds relate or don't relate and what should happen between them. But more than that, never be filled with an arrogance, because even though it's true, we are a human being, we have a chelak alikah, we have a neshama, but we're all creations of Hashem, and Hashem created us. And he created animals, and he created the earth. And I remember my father always used to tell us, he used to say that when Mashiach will come, what's going to happen? He said, you won't believe what's going to happen. He says that the stones that you walked on are going to actually scream at you and say to you, how did you have the chutzpah to walk on me? And you were thinking of, I don't know, what you need, some ordinary thing or something negative. Who says you are greater than the stone you are walking on? You are both creations serving a purpose. And at that point, if you are thinking something negative, then you are much lower than the stone you are walking on, because the stone is doing what it's meant to be doing. It's on the ground and it's supporting you. And you have the chutzpah to think something which is what Hashem doesn't want you to do. So you see how he says over here, that's why it all flows, everything flows. How we have to look at the world is that as a, if you want to say it like this, perfect, beautiful place as Hashem created, all with the ability to serve him. And interestingly, we have free choice. The animals, the plants don't, so they're always serving Hashem. That also gives us a little bit of a sense that we have to treat it with reverence. That's as a Jew, we know, you don't do bal tashchis, you don't just stam tira grass, you don't treat an animal badly. They are always serving Hashem. So respect Hashem's creations and respect how everything can come together and help us serve Hashem. So it's a very powerful idea. Okay, we'll move on a little bit now. So this part, I'm sorry, we don't have inside. So I just want to share something beautiful. So two beautiful ideas. First of all, when we mentioned that, we touched on it, that the concept of shatnas actually originates all the way from the beginning of creation. So you remember what happened at the beginning of creation? At the beginning of creation, Hashem created the world in such a perfect way, and almost immediately came Cain and Hevel. Now, what was Cain? We all know Cain was. Cain, what did he do? He was a farmer. Yeah, he did kill his brother. You're right. He was, but before he killed, what led him to kill his brother?
Jealousy.
Big jealousy. Massive jealousy. But what were they jealous of? What did they each bring? So they each wanted to come close to Hashem, right? They each wanted to bring a korban. So what did they bring? Hevel brought from the best of his sheep, we know, the best one, the fattest one, the firstborn. Cain brought whatever, some, I don't know what, some a little bit of his crops. But think about it, what did they bring? So Hevel brings wool, Cain, linen. Okay, linen and wool. Got mixed up over there and it didn't work very well. It exploded big time. It caused almost caused the destruction of the world in the initial mixture of wool and linen. That's what we're remembering with the Shachnis, is the Cain and the Hevel. Hashem says, I want them separate. But what does it mean, not just separate? It's much deeper than just keeping them separate. That's what we have to understand. So this is a very interesting thing. So in Chassidus, it explains very, very beautifully that really there's two, you can look at it from two angles, why we're not permitted to mix it together. So why? So first of all, they obviously, they're harmful influences. To avoid harmful influences, like we say, linen is the harmful influence because that's the one that was brought by Cain, and he didn't bring it in the positive way in this context. Wool is obviously a beautiful thing because Hevel, he brought the best wool, right? So in this context, you can say that we want to just keep separate what's good and what's bad. As we said, we have to identify what's positive and what's negative. But then there's something a little bit deeper than that. The problem is that what we really want to do is avoid harmful mixtures. That's really what we're talking about here. And they're not, each one is not necessarily negative in itself. It's just that when you mix them together, something negative can come out of it, right? So it's just sort of two ways. So we say like this, that the truth is that generally, fascinating thing, even though there are certain things that we are not permitted to touch, right? Let's say you don't eat treif, you don't, right? There are certain things that we call that are impure. But in their source, in the highest levels, everything comes from Hashem. Everything comes from good. It's just as it came down, as it descended, and as it contracted, and as Hashem, so to speak, covered himself with many, many layers, how it came down to us is in a way where we have to stay away from it. It has a negative influence if we will actively engage. The only thing we can do is, how can we engage? By not engaging. That's how we engage. In other words, by staying away, that's how we cause, so to speak, to get anything positive from it. But in its original source, everything is good, right? So we find a fascinating thing. If you think about it, it's like a very beautiful muscle that's given. It says like this, that if you have a king and he has many, many servants and everybody wants to serve him, everybody has their job. The king specifically designates every servant with their own specific job. And everybody has to know what their job is and actually should be fulfilling their job to the utmost that they can. However, what does the king want in the ideal? Even though every minister has to do what they have to do, he does want them all to get along with each other. He does. But he does want them to be aware of their own specific job, which means that the one minister should not, so to speak, even in politics you have, he shouldn't forego from his job for the sake of somebody else, if that's his job, right? So sometimes you have to work out how you're going to do it, but the bottom line is everybody should know what they're here for, and they have to make sure, because otherwise you're not going to make the king happy. He didn't appoint the minister of the waters to be worried about the fire, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? That's not what their job is. So therefore, everybody has to know and keep their job while still trying to get along with others. So there you have separate entities, right? Separate. Now what happens when they all come to a cabinet meeting? They all come before the king. They're all standing there in front of the king. So the truth is, they don't forget their job, and the king might want to report about their job, but nevertheless, what happens here is, who is really the one who is on top of all of them? The king. And therefore, in a sense, they almost all lose their own specific, if you want to say, one cannot say I'm greater than the other, I'm more important than my friend. We are all here together to serve the king. That's what happens when they're standing actually in front of the king. Over there, you don't necessarily see in a revealed way the specific jobs of each of the ministers. They do their job when they leave the palace and they start implementing the job. If you think about it this way, when the Kohen Gadol is standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the Kodesh, in the holiest place where Hashem is revealed, over there, wool and linen coexist, no problem at all, no issue. If they wouldn't, it would be an issue, because over there, everything is nullified before the king. But it's only the Kohen Gadol actually, that can wear, because he is so in tune with Hashem's presence that it takes away, it's so much higher, and it envelops him, it takes away any separation. So it's actually a very interesting thing. And why did Hashem do that? So why does he even have to do that? Because everything in this world, as we say, has a way of redeeming it, one way or another. But that doesn't mean we can, right? In other words, it doesn't mean we can engage. Like we say, we can't eat something that's not kosher and say, well, I'm going to use the energy and I'm going to do something good afterwards. That's not the way we're meant to be. A fascinating thing, though, that it's very interesting. If somebody, let's say, didn't know, they weren't religious and they ate something not kosher, and then they become from, and they realize they ate something not kosher, they look back. What happens if they do a proper tshuva? Now they have the ability to actually elevate that negative thing that they did before. We can't do it in the first instance. We can't say, I'm going to eat it and then I'll do tshuva. That doesn't work that way. But if a person didn't know and they engaged in that negative behavior and then they do tshuva, they have the power to transform, which means they can release and they can elevate that energy and they can actually reveal the godliness even in that thing, which is usually taboo. Usually we have to keep away from it. But that's only when you're on such a high level and you do a proper tshuva. And this is the idea, because a Baal tshuva, as we say, is somebody who literally lives with the presence of Hashem. So this is the same concept in a certain way to understand. It's a certain angle. Now I want to show you, I said also that this, connected to this parasha. It's funny, it's hard to think what it is. This week's parasha is parasha Shlach. So we think of the Meraglim, but there's something beautiful at the end of the parasha, one of the beautiful mitzvahs that's actually connected to us. Mitzvah of Challah. The mitzvah of Challah is in this week's parasha. This is a good week to bake Challah. Challah is in parasha Shlach, and Challah is a mitzvah for the woman. And what does Challah have to do with all this? What am I talking about Challah? So now, where does Challah come from? What's the origin of Challah? Why do we have them? First of all, what do we do when we do Challah? Okay, so yeah, and then you take the, what do you do with the dough? You take one piece. Okay, hafrasha, you use that word hafrasha. What is hafrasha lahafrish? Exactly. So you separate. That's right, you're separate. Remember we just used that word, that line, separate for peace? Okay, you take challah, dough, and you take a piece and you say, this is holy, and now we can't do it, but we have to burn it. Was set aside for the kohen. The rest of the challah dough remains chol, weekday, normal, ordinary. That piece becomes holy. What are you doing? You're causing a separation. The Torah is all about unity. Why do we have to separate? And some people have this time even now. Who says who? Even Kairach used to, right? He said, who said, why do you need Kohanim, Levim? Why do we need men nowadays? Why do we need men and women? Why do we need any separation, right? That's how the world is. Wonderful. Everybody should just be equal. Everybody's the same. No. So let's understand what challah is. So we take this ordinary dough, we separate a piece of the dough, and we say, this is holy, this is not holy. Where does challah come from? Why is it the woman's mitzvah anyway? What's the origin of challah? As you know, it says, the Medrash tells us. Fascinating thing, the Medrash says that the woman, in her original state, in Chava, caused a kilkel to chalosoy shel oylam, that's the word that's used. Chalosoy shel oylam means the challah of the world, which is referring to Adam. He was created like a piece of dough. It's true, that's Hashem created us, man, right? Mix the water with the earth and whatever. Chalosoy shel oylam. And we caused a ruining, if you want to say. And now let her come and redeem it. Let her come and fix it by taking the mitzvah of challah. What's the connection of challah to Chaytei Tzadas? It's the Chaytei Tzadas. What happened there by Chaytei? What happened? What happened with the snake? The snake came to the woman. What did the snake say?
Convince her.
Yeah, how did he convince her? What did he say to her?
You don't need the, if you touch.
Ah, loisigar, right? Don't touch. Don't touch the tree. What did Hashem say?
Don't eat.
He didn't say touch. Don't eat. Yeah. He added. What did the nachash do? The snake added. Added something which was not said by Hashem. That was the disaster. But usually when we analyze it for a moment, usually we don't think of it that way. Think about the way we lead our life. Many, many things that we do, that Hashem told us to do or not to do, we add to. I mean, even every Shabbos, we had time, right? Every mitzvah we do, we say, asu siyagla teira, make fences, right, that you shouldn't come to sinning, right? We add. How come we add? If the worst thing happened because he added. It's such an interesting thing. The whole world destruction happened because the Nachash added something, and then we say, it's a good thing, make sure, take precautions, add to the mitzvahs. What's the difference? Sorry? Yeah, very good. Excellent term, yes. So kol hamarbege, very good. So we say that you add, but then how does it work with these things? So how come we're allowed to add then? It's interesting. How come? Like even
it doesn't contradict.
What do you mean?
Because what he did, he contradicted.
So how did he contradict? Like, he's just adding a. If you think he didn't contradict anything, he just said that Hashem. Well, he obviously said, there's a lot of things wrong because he said Hashem said. You're not allowed to say Hashem said. But the point is though that what we're concentrating here is that one of the biggest problems that led to the disaster is that because he said not to touch, and then she touched, nothing happened, so then she went and ate, right? So he added, and we say, and actually the Midrashim tell us that it was the adding that was the problem, that was it. So we have a fascinating thing. We do add, it's true. We do, we take precautions. Like we say, we add time on Shabbos, right? 18 minutes before, later on. That's it, exactly. We do things. Definitely, we try to do a hiddur mitzvah, so we beautify, but we also add in a way, even halakhically we add, the Rabbanim add that. Okay, first of all, just a simple straight thing to understand is that we can never add without saying, you cannot add and say this is from the Torah, you have to say it's from the Rabbanim. Okay, that's an important thing to remember. But that's just, that's the halakhic, but I'm looking at the hashkafic, at the understanding of the meaning behind it. So what do we say? When can you add, and not only when can you add, but when do you have to add? Why do we add? To what?
Precautions.
Okay, cautious, exactly. When do we need to take precautions? When we're worried?
If it's not the right thing.
Okay, well, not only that, but we're worried more about if we don't add to it, like if we don't take precautions, then we might come to doing something wrong. Because we don't trust ourselves enough, right? In a sense, because there's confusion sometimes. Like let's say you might... We know, if we were really, really in tune, if we were really, really holy people, would we have to add on to the time of Shabbos to not bench licht on time? Of course not. When it would come to tal licht benching, automatically we would bench licht on time. Why do we add? We add because...
Just in case.
And just in case. And when is just in case? Just in case is when we're in doubt. When were we in doubt? Because we're not perfect, which we're not. Where were they, Adam and Chava, in Gan Eden? You couldn't get more perfect than Gan Eden. There Hashem is revealed. Everything is in exact perfection. Not only was the place perfect, but Adam was created by the hands of Hashem himself, as perfect as you can get. Did they need to add there? I said, no. In that case, kol hamar begoireya. When it's in such a perfect state, what it means is almost like what we're saying with the shachness, is that Hashem doesn't know enough, you know? I have to do more. Hashem is there in such a revealed way. There you don't need to add. There, if you're adding, you're taking away because you are automatically in tune with what Hashem wants. So what the snake did was an absolute disaster. And what he did was, if you think about it in a more subtle way, he took a concept, which is a good concept, but he applied it in the wrong place. The concept of adding is good when it's necessary, but not when it's not necessary. When it's not necessary, it's bad. So he took something which is good in some instances, but used it in the wrong instance. How does that apply to what we do with challah? It's a very, very interesting thing with challah. We say, but we have to separate. We have to create a separation. What that means is, and we're taking some of it and we're giving it to the kohen. Very interesting. Peace, shalom, is the ultimate thing in the world, right? It says the world is created for peace. There's no keli machzik bracha. Everything peace, peace, peace. But we can even see it nowadays. Sometimes people love to use that word and they extend it too far. What does too far mean? If you are going to say in the name of peace that you could compromise on something that is right and wrong, that's not peace. So an example, a simple example, nowadays we have it too much in Israel. But even in our own lives we have it. Sometimes people will say, for the sake of peace, I don't know, we don't have to have a mechitza in the shul. Peace, I don't know, everybody should be comfortable, right? A mechitza, this is an example I'm here just because a mechitza is separation. But here, no, this separation is what causes peace, because you're following the rules of Hashem. If you, like, in other words, if you compromise on Torah and mitzvahs when you're not meant to, we're not talking about compromising in a sense where you're allowed to. We're talking about when you're not allowed to. That's not peace. That's not where peace is supposed to be used. Then you're using the word shalom in the wrong place. Sometimes separation causes peace. And this is a very big principle in Torah. When Hashem dictates it, obviously we have to be careful. Not when we want, when Hashem wants. But when Hashem wants, and this is what Challah is meant to bring home to us, that there are times that we keep things separate. There are times when things have to be together. There are some things that have to stay separate, and some things can be together. And also, there is a hierarchy. There's somebody who's a kohen. There's somebody who's a rav. That's how the Rebbe says it. Very interesting. Some people are able to do certain things, and some people are not able to say certain things. But we have to know, and that's okay, and we have to accept that. That's not a problem. There's a man and there's a lady. We have certain mitzvahs, they have certain mitzvahs. There's nothing wrong. It doesn't make you less or more. It's the way Hashem instituted the world. And the only way to keep true peace in the world is when we work in that way. So it was such a magnificent idea. Well, it's so funny how punkt was also connected to this. So again, that's what, so maybe if we bake challah this week, we can think about the separations and the unity, the separation that causes unity.
That's it. And the kasher in Hamaraglim.
Sorry, say it again. The what?
It has a kasher with the Maraglim.
The Maraglim, exactly.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Wow. Isn't it incredible? Incredible, wow. Stuff. It's so beautiful. So it's a good week for us to, as we say, have peace in the right way. I know time flies. I don't know. Anyway.
But I have a question.
Sure.
So what do you treat now with the vegetables and the foods that are mixed?
You're allowed to eat it. That's not a problem. Because Torah says no problem. It's just that you're not allowed to plant it. Like, you can't do it yourself.
So, but if someone else does it,
you're allowed. Yeah,
you're allowed.
Yeah,
okay.
It's very interesting.
You can eat broccoli,
yes, yes, enjoy it.
Peaches and all kinds of
You can unmute yourselves. I think if you have any questions, I don't know.